Good morning all. On Wednesday evening, as you know, and quite a few people were there, we met as a parish to discuss the future of St. Edmund's Church building. There were no set procedures at the meeting involved. Those who wanted to threw in their own thoughts and everyone listened to what they had to say. It was really a very warm atmosphere, like you get, you know, with a group of friends who are trying to work out what's best for everyone. And thankfully, we ended up with a consensus. And the reason I tell you this is because for me, it was an example in microcosm of the kind of church that Pope Francis wants to emerge from the worldwide synod that he's called to take place in 2023. We all know that the church emerging from the COVID crisis is not going to be the same church that most of us have known all our lives. To take one, just one example, we're running out of priests. But does that mean that the church is finished? Not at all. The Holy Spirit is clearly telling us something, and it's for us to find out what it is. Some people, of course, think that the synod will be a fruitless exercise and that things will be sorted out the Brian Clough way. You know, we talk about the dispute for about 20 minutes and then we decide that I'm right. But Pope Francis sees things very, very differently. He wants to involve everyone. A synod means walking the same road, walking together. And when Pope Francis set it up, he said, it's a mutual listening in which everyone has something to learn. The faithful, the College of Bishops, the Bishop of Rome, all listening to each other and all listening to the Holy Spirit in order to know what he is saying to the church in the third millennium. When I read that, I thought, did you notice the pecking order in that quote from Pope Francis? He starts with the laity, then with the bishops, and then the Pope. And as you know, that's not the way it usually works in the church. So Francis is putting the laity very firmly center stage with the parish as the launch pad. It's important to remember that it is the Catholics in the pew today, you in other words, with their experience, their problems, and their Catholic identity, who are the principal architects of tomorrow's church. In today's reading from Isaiah, the Israelites are promised that the glory of God will be revealed. Now, this is particularly relevant to today's feast of the baptism of the Lord, because here, as we've just heard in the gospel, on the banks of the Jordan, a voice is heard from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. My favor rests on you." Jesus is the fulfillment of that prophecy that the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And so quite clearly, it's a time of new beginnings. The Old Testament, the old church, you could say, is about to be transformed, not done away with, but transformed. God is doing something very new, and all will be invited by his son. All, as it said in the second reading, this is for everybody, all the nations, will be invited by his son to come on board. So, obviously, this is a time for new beginnings for us as well. The Second Vatican Council was called by Pope John the 23rd to bring the church into the modern world, a work which those of us old enough to remember was started with great enthusiasm and joy. But as we know, over the years, it stymied, relying on the fact that no matter what happened in the world, the church would always remain the same, strong, powerful, mistress of all she surveys. But as we've seen in recent years, that's no longer the case. Membership has declined even among the numbers who only come once a year or at Christmas. So how do we go about finding what the Holy Spirit is telling us? Pope Francis gives us three ways of doing this. He calls them encounter, listen, discern. Encounter means taking time to look others in the eye and listen to what they have to say, to build rapport, to be sensitive to their questions, and to be enriched by the gifts and talents that they have to offer. Listening means being aware of the concerns and hopes which affect all of us, as a people, as a church, but also as members of the human race, when we are faced with the challenges and changes that the world is setting before us. But here's the important bit. Encounter and listening are not ends in themselves. Otherwise, things would stay just as they always were before. Discernment means acting on what we've discovered from the other two for the greater good of everyone, for the greater good of all. So we now are at the parish discussion stage, where we about to take the pulse of the parish, tapping to our feelings, what we feel about things, gather opinions and harvest ideas. And Bishop Paul says he wants us to confidently engage in a simple and prayerful dialogue, respectful of one another. And here in our parish, there'll be three sessions over the next 3 weeks. May I invite you all then to come to the first one, which will be this Thursday from 7 till 8 p.m. in the Green Hut. And it would be good if you've had a serious think about the questions given out today, and maybe even make some notes. But as the Synod Path is an open-ended process, also, if you want to, bring along any other issues that you think should be included in the worldwide Synod. And I'll just finish with a note about participation, which is taken from the Pastoral Review, a lot of which we as a parish do already, as you'll identify when I read it out to you. But I hope by doing this, it will help us to build on the success of Wednesday's meeting and, of course, point the way ahead for any future discussions that we may have. So this is what it says about participation. Participation is conditional upon three factors. The first is an understanding of the Church's nature, its history, its traditions, its beliefs, and its place in the world of today, starting with the immediate neighbourhood of our parish. The second is a deep desire to be involved in its life and to put the abilities that we may possess, financial management, catechetical knowledge, teaching skills, a good singing voice, or mastery of a musical instrument, at the disposal of the joint enterprise. The third, perhaps the most difficult and demanding, that Ignatian virtue of self-restraint, which puts the common good ahead of any personal spirituality, theological preferences, or vision of how things should be. So there you go, we're setting the scene. Hopefully, as many people as possible will be able to get along on Thursday and contribute to something which is very, very important for the future church that we all hope will survive and do as well as it did in the past.